Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I want to read you three scriptures, and I want them to sink in. They're very basic, and they're solid, basic scriptures for us and what we're about today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you can't read this verse enough. He is a new creation. New. I love that word, new. The old has gone. Come on, somebody. And the new has come. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that person becomes a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Would you think about that word new? That is a great word, the feeling of new, the idea of a new beginning, the idea of a fresh start, the idea of new hope, new faith, a new day. When I woke up this morning, I saw the sun coming out, and the first thing I thought about is thank God that His mercies are new today, because I used them up yesterday. Come on, somebody. I used all I could get yesterday, and I'm going to need a refilling. I'm going to need a recharging. I'm going to need a new level of mercies today. I'm going to spend all the mercy God has today. Why? Because I'm going to need it again tomorrow for my life. New. Things are new. I want us to remember something. What Jesus did on the cross and what Jesus does for us establishes that there can be new for you and I. He did it on the cross. He finished the work. It's a fact. You and I can have new in our life. We do not have to be defined by old. We do not have to live in the old. We do not have to live our world and operate and live relationships and think in the old. We can have new. We don't have to be locked up into the old. See, the devil wants to keep us in old. Old, old, old. But God wants to give us new. He doesn't want to. See, the enemy wants us to live defined by the old, what used to be. Loves trapping us in that. He loves keeping us in those old thoughts, in those old ways, in those old mindsets, in those old outlooks, in those old viewpoints. He likes us to relate to everything based on the old. He'd like us to live our life and express who we are and speak in a way and think in a way that is all defined by the old. Jesus says it doesn't have to be that way. You can live in the new. The new, the new, the new. I love what Romans is our second scripture. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So Jesus brings us the new. The cross gives us the new. But then it tells us that not only is there new that's out there, it's new that you and I can walk in. We can walk in the newness of life. It's a new way to walk. I started thinking about this. This tells us when we say yes to Jesus, that as we say yes to Him through salvation and we receive Jesus Christ, and then when we follow through like so many are going to do today in baptism, what that is, it's a symbolic, it's speaking about being buried with Christ through baptism, but then being raised in Him from the dead in order that we may walk in a new way of life. It's a new life, it's a new heart, it's a new faith, it's a new outlook, but guess what? He gives us a new way to walk out our life. We don't have to walk it out the same way. We don't have to walk in the same path. We don't have to walk in those same ruts that we're used to walking in, that the enemy's always trying to get us to slip into. And we think that way and we act that way and we make decisions out of those old things. It's just easy to always to slip back in to that old thinking, to that old walk. It's just easy. It's easier to walk in the old than it is the new at times. Because the new requires change. The new requires a dependence upon God. The new requires something different. The old is just easy. It is that rut. But Jesus says, I've come to give you a new life and a new way to walk. Yesterday, I got to go to a little basketball game that some of our kids participated in, some of the younger kids at our church, and Jason Dewey's coaches them, does a great job. And there were all these kids from the church. There was Roman, our little nephew, and Christian, and Eason, and Dewey's boy, and there's all these kids in the church. Just loving it, watching all of them. And there was a little Jude Cleary, and I think they're all like 8 or 9 years old. They're playing at a YMCA. They were just beating this team. It was pitiful. The other team hadn't even scored. You know, they're just killing them. And I was watching them play, and they were really giving it their all. And we got to go to just cheer them on. All of them did so well. They were scoring, knocking down baskets, stealing the ball, going for a jump ball, getting on the ground. I mean, it's a little basketball and a little football, if you know what I'm talking about. It's just a lot of fun watching kids that age as they excel and begin to understand their athletic ability. And so we just had a great time. And one of them went out. I watched Jude go out, and he was playing. He got all fired up. He kind of got a jump ball, was kind of tussling a little bit. And so I'm sitting by Isabella and Becca sitting here. Becca Cleary, Jude's mother, was sitting there. And so when they had the break at the quarter, they just played a little short course. They got by. So they got, and I noticed, and Becca said, look at Jude. It's like he was walking like he had a rock in his shoe, or he had a little bump in his hip or a little something going on. Because he was, you know, after he kind of tussled the whistle, he was just kind of walking like this right here. And Becca was like, look at his walk. So me and Becca just watched him walk off the court. He's just kind of, I thought, maybe he hurt his ankle. It wasn't, he didn't hurt his ankle. He just had it going on. It's my walk. I'll dunk on everybody in the gym if I have to right now. I dunk on all y'all. He just kind of look about him, and he saw us looking at him, and he kind of dug in a little deeper. When me and Becca were looking at him, Becca said, look at your walk, Jude. He just went on with it like you want some. 8 years old. Already got a walk. Well, it was a walk of confidence. It was a walk of a team. It was a walk of believing. It was a walk of, hey, we're winning. We did something, man. We're putting it to him. Can I tell you something? You and I have a new walk. What Jesus Christ did on the cross gives us a new walk. We don't have to walk with our head down. We don't have to walk in doubt. We don't have to walk in defeat. We don't have to walk in discouragement. We don't have to walk being depressed. We don't have to walk like everybody else. We walk different. Got a different walk. It's a walk of redemption. It's a walk of a new beginning. Hey, it's a walk of healing. Come on, somebody. It's a walk of forgiveness. That's what Christ did for you and I. I love this last scripture. It's in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. It said that Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I love that. Therefore, go. I like that word. A go church, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely, I love this, this is the promise, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. See, this is what I want you to teach them. I want you to realize that all authority has been given to me, and I want you to teach people. I want you to call people into discipleship. Call people to be a disciple. That means a follower, a learner of Jesus. Just not a casual relationship, but an apprentice of my ways, to learn me, to be in me, to walk like I walk, to live with me. Because here's the good news. You're going to be baptized, and baptism is a part of all of that. Because when it's all said and done, what I want you to remember, that when you walk out your life and when you live out your life, and no matter where your feet take you, no matter where your path takes you, I am with you always. You are never alone, even to the very end. I don't know if you've ever been at the end of your rope. I don't know if you've ever been in a season of your life where you just felt like you were at the end. Maybe at the end of a relationship, maybe at the end of a business, maybe at the end of a promise, maybe at the wrong end of a relationship. I don't know if you've ever been to the end of something, the end of yourself, the end of pain, the end of sickness, the end of being disturbed, where you couldn't see out of it. It was like a dead end in your life, which you thought was going to turn into an incredible highway, which you felt like was going to be an amazing journey, which you felt like was going to be the ride of your life, comes to a halting end. You say, what now? And then Jesus steps in and says, I'm there for those who reach the end of themselves. That's hope. I don't know if you know that or not. That is hope in the world we live in today. That no matter where we end up, no matter how far we feel like we are off track, Jesus says those words, those last words, surely I am with you always. Always. That means when everybody else, thank you very much. That means when everybody else walks out, he walks in. What do you think about that? That means when other people give up, he's not giving up. That means when other people turn around, he's not turning around. That means when other people write you off, he doesn't write you off. Always means always. He says, I'm there for you. That's my prayer for every person getting baptized today, that when they come out of that tank, we let them know, we say to them, he is with you. I don't know what brought you in here. I don't know what you've come to. I don't know what discovery you've made. I don't know what you've walked out of. I don't know what kind of pain you've come out of. I don't know what type of decision you've come out of. But I'm here to tell you, when you walk out of this tank from Healing Place Church, he is with you. He is with you. I love what Mother Teresa talks about. She talks about how one of the worst sicknesses, she was a person who saw sickness, is the sickness of loneliness, is the sickness of having no hope. Because when you are lonely, it is easy to feel like you don't have any hope. And to be able to get a promise like that in Matthew chapter 28, that he is with us, never alone, which gives us hope for the future. You know, I was studying this and just trying to finish up and get ready to celebrate with these families that are getting baptized, which is just the highlight of what we're all about. I was looking at that word baptism this week and trying to see, is there anything new about that? I mean, you talk about baptism, and if we're not careful, everybody fogs out because they're not getting baptized. It's not their family. How do we all participate? And how does God brand all of our hearts in a moment like this as everyone is supposed to be participating with this? And I looked up in the Greek, the word baptism is baptizo, which originally in the Greek, it meant to dip and to dye. It describes the process of dipping a cloth into a vat of a color dye, and then you leave it. And that material, that garment, soaks up this new color. And then in the process, they would pull it out of the dye, and now the dye has soaked into what once was one color or a neutral color. Now it's a new color, and it has permanently set in, and it has totally changed. I want you to hear this, the appearance of the cloth inside and out. That's what baptism means, to dip and to dye. Many of you have you've dyed Easter eggs before. You take an egg and you dip it in these dyes. And you dip it once, you dip it twice. It goes into the blue, goes into the purple, goes in these primary colors. And then what was once a white egg is now a purple Easter egg, and you paint things on it. Now you look into this basket that would have been just these white, vanilla, you know, plain-looking eggs, and now there's yellow, and there's pink, and there's orange, and there's purple, and it just speaks of Easter. It speaks of pastels. It speaks of springtime. And so it changes it. Okay, here's the application for all of us. A person who comes to Jesus Christ is likened to that old garment or that old piece of material who needs to be dipped and dyed so its color can change. Not in a vat of color dye, but in the precious blood of Jesus. So we say we've been baptized, we've been bought with the blood. Guess what? We have been dipped and we have been dyed a new color in Jesus Christ. Our appearance from the inside out has changed. We have changed. Only Jesus could do that. Money can't do that. Fame can't do that. Business can't do that. Influence can't do that. Popularity can't do that. Only Jesus can do that. That's it. There's nothing else. To be dipped and dyed in Jesus Christ. If not, we just live in the old. I can't live another day in the old. I got to live in the new. I got to live in the new. That's what Jesus did. Water baptism is symbolic that we've been buried with Christ, raised with him. Immersion in one condition, we're going down in Jesus Christ, but now we're coming up brand new. It is the picture dipped in the blood of Jesus, now awakened and alive, newly colored and transformed like Jesus Christ. It is the gift of salvation. That is what born again means. That's what the gift of salvation is all about. It's dipped and dyed, the gift of salvation. It's what Jesus did. It's what Jesus did for us. It's what he does when he went to the cross and was obedient, dipped and died. See, I declare that I am new. All things have passed away. I'm not who I used to be. I don't think like the old man. I don't see like the old man. I don't talk like the old man. I don't behave like the old man. I am now in Jesus Christ. I think like Jesus. I see like Jesus. I talk like Jesus. And I behave like Jesus. Why? Because I am new. I have been dipped and I have been dyed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That is who I am. That is who I am in Jesus Christ. That's why when someone gets baptized, we just want to run up and hug their wet self. Because we want to look at them and say, new, new. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Just about 3 minutes, we're going to baptize about 35 people. That's what it's all about. But before we do that, I just want to ask you a question. Because not only do we want to share in that, I just believe the Holy Spirit wants to give us an opportunity. And my question is, have you become new? You can. You can be dipped and dyed in the blood of Jesus. That's what salvation is. Baptism is the symbolic going down, death, burial, resurrection. Maybe you need a new view of life, or you need a new reason to live. I talked to someone the other day who has went through a nightmare. And those were the words he said to me. God has given me a new reason to live. Because what he thought he was living for fell apart. The wheels came off. And to hear him say, God has given me a new reason to live, is amazing.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.